It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Today is 11-12-13. How cool is that? How you doing, Will?
So, I was at my local neighborhood karaoke bar, Sardo's.
Mm-hmm. It's not really in your neighborhood, though. It's a little far.
It takes me 5 minutes to get there by freeway.
Yeah, the Firefox room is closer. Foxfire.
And there was this guy. There was this... I was sitting at a table with Alyssa Vaughn, former guest in the early days of the podcast, and this girl, Christelle.
Okay.
Very attractive girl. Painfully good looking. We're sitting there, and this weirdo, this guy, came over to the table, and he looked like a cross between former guest of the podcast, Taylor Negron, and Iggy Pop.
Okay, so just kind of a skinny, strung-out older guy.
Yeah, and he came over, and he said that we looked like nice people. He announced himself as a homosexual, and proceeded to hit on me. Most of the night. He tried to buy me the house red wine, which, as much as I love Sardo's, never drink the house red
You're
wine.
You're purely a rosé man.
And he attempted to feed me barbecued potato chips.
And you're purely a ranch man.
Exactly. Then he was asking, I definitely played up the fact that I am a heterosexual, although it's always nice to be wanted. And he was asking the girls about my penis.
Now, would either one of these girls know about your penis?
One of them would have seen the penis, but not in the context of which I would have liked her to.
Okay, she had to check you with that rash that one time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He asked them if my penis was like an electric eel, to which I said it was more of a moray eel.
Well, so good night. After all, did you get his number?
Nobody gave us a free copy of his CD. Maybe I'll refer him. We'll get to it later, but maybe I'll refer him to this week's guest.
Yeah,
maybe
I think that's a good idea.
My question to you then is, what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, like your penis, the podcast is an electric eel. Everyone, please like us on Facebook, iTunes, Stars, Twitter, all the fun stuff. I just want to remind everyone about Alex Stein's show. That is at Muse on 8th every Saturday night. It's a spoken word show, so if you have an essay, comedic bit, a story, a poem, a song, anything, go perform. Alex is always looking for new people to perform, but also just go and support him, because it's the arts, and don't be an idiot. And Nat Goldberg has her next Casual Stalker show at the Westside Comedy Theater on November 24th. I went this week. Fantastic show, very funny lineup.
Yeah, she gets some great guests. It's a great room.
Yes.
Very impressed, and she's been a big supporter of ours, so...
And, did I mention you should like us on Facebook and give us star ratings and reviews?
Yeah, listen, you fucking people, just like us already.
We're getting to our 100th episode.
Almost 100 episodes. You've listened to us for almost 100
giving
hours.
Giving you the free funny. Well, free something.
So at least I know that I get more people tweeting at me about this podcast than have given us the star ratings on iTunes, so I know you're out there, people, so just go.
Listen, here's all we're asking. As soon as we get to 100,000 likes, we will stop bothering you
exactly.
About this. That's the plan.
Fair enough. Who's our sponsor this week?
This week's episode is brought to you by the new iPhone 5S, the sexiest thing you'll ever hold in your hand or put close to your mouth. Seriously, this phone just gets me hard. I think I have to use the bathroom.
Well,
I got I got it, and I can't stop touching it. It knows my fingerprints. It does things. The camera's amazing.
You're gonna be. I can't even. I'm not. It's bad enough going out.
It's in my hand right now.
You're always playing with your phone.
Look at this. Look, I put my thumb on there, and wait, hold on.
You know what? Don't tell people.
No, I'm putting my thumb on there, and it's. Don't wait. Come on. There we go. It unlocks.
And that was very riveting to all the people listening.
It's magic.
On the show this week, are you ready for some racist bullying football? Also, Matthew McConaughey, he's dwindled down to nothing. And we're going to talk about it.
All right.
And I went to see a movie a few weeks ago, and the people in the audience pissed me off, and we're going to get to why. But first, we're very excited to have him on the show. He is the founder of 5 AM Collective, and he is Samson Shulman.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome to the show.
How are you, gentlemen?
Good, how you feeling?
Good, good.
Yeah, I know you braved illness to come talk to us.
I powered through like 100 degree fever to be here.
To bring us the plague. Now, before we go anywhere, please tell the listeners what the 5 AM Collective is.
Okay, so 5 AM Collective is essentially, it's an artist development management firm.
For musicians primarily?
For musicians primarily.
Okay.
Yeah. Or solely, we should say.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you have the one conceptual sculpture. Yeah. Who just stands naked in public and, you know.
Haven't crossed that bridge just yet, but music industry is tough, I may. We'll see.
Now, before we delve into more about the 5 AM Collective, I want to get a little bit of your origin story here. Are you from Los Angeles?
No, from Detroit. And, you know, my father actually was a child prodigy on the piano, right? Playing
really?
With the Detroit Symphony
at
the age of 8, you know, in the papers and everything. So I was, you know, I grew up on a steady diet of, like, you know, Brahms and Beethoven, all sorts of intense, you know,
my kind of music.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, but I got 5 lawyers in my immediate family. So basically, right up until I graduated college, all I thought I was going to do is become a lawyer, right? And then when I got accepted, I realized, you know, my family was more excited about that than myself.
Interesting.
And so basically, I was like, all right, you know, what if I always enjoyed music? You know, I realized right around the time I graduated, there was a job called A&R where people got paid, right,
yeah.
salaries to pick new music, and I just couldn't believe that was real. So began, you know, the quest, and I moved to L.A., and I got an internship at Interscope, which is a huge label,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
Dre and Eminem and Gaga.
Those lightweights.
Exactly.
So you didn't grow up with Eminem in Detroit, though?
No.
Okay.
No.
You were at 9 Mile. He was at 8 Mile.
Exactly.
Quick question. But so do you play any instruments, or do you sing? Or
yeah, I dabbled in acoustic guitar, but that's about as far as I took it.
So you were not the prodigy.
I was not the prodigy. I didn't get that side of it. But I, for some reason, I have this kind of freakish ability to, you know, identify talent and develop it.
You got an ear for it.
I got an
no
ear.
No fingers for it.
Exactly. I'm sure that's kind of in the DNA, you know what I mean? It's got to be.
Well, there's no musical talent anywhere in my family, and you can just tell. Like, we can't sing, we can't hold the tune, we can't read music, I got a terrible ear.
I can't even hum.
No, I can't even hum. It's awful.
Was your father then, since he had this music background, you said your whole family with all these lawyers in the family, you were going to be a lawyer. But he was also,
he was a lawyer as well.
He was a lawyer yeah. and a musician. Okay,
yeah,
he wasn't
yeah.
just the...
No, I thought you had like 5 brothers. Overachiever. Well, girls could be lawyers, right?
No. So yeah, the list real quick.
So he was musical prodigy and lawyer.
And a lawyer, yeah.
The musical
yeah.
lawyer.
The musical
Did
lawyer.
Did he use that to win cases?
Or the litigious pianist.
I like that. No. Uncle, brother, 2 cousins. I mean, it's yeah. crazy. Yeah, so...
Okay.
So you came out and you said, I'm going to... So right. you said you started working in Scope, but I was looking at your bio. You worked at a lot of different music jobs. I saw even a music coordinator on Tonight Show.
On the Tonight Show, yeah.
What was that
yeah.
like?
That was amazing for the fact that I hated my job, first and foremost.
Because you had to explain to Jay Leno who Arcade Fire was.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of it. No, the first day I met Leno, it was a really funny thing. Like, I remember, you know, telling him I'm from Detroit. And I said, I think I followed that with, you know, but it's been going downhill the last few years. And he said, oh, please, it's been going downhill the last 30 years. So I got dissed.
And he's
like
a car man.
First day. Yeah, he's a car man, exactly. I thought I'd get the break. But, no, my office was the only, here's what's interesting about that job, it was the only office located on the first floor across from the celebrity dressing rooms.
Oh.
All of the other offices were on the second floor. You know what I mean? So... my real estate was prime, and I got to see all yeah. sorts of weird things, like Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, like...
Putting her penis away?
No, just random. Bristol Palin, like, you know, tripped in my office and stole my chair. Just random stuff.
So the only gap, that's the one.
For some reason, she stuck out.
She stuck out.
Well, you got to see the Mariah Carey freak out when the stuff from her rider wasn't in the dressing room.
No. I never saw that. I never saw that. But I... I did see Bill Maher on there, and pre-makeup, he looked like he was 110 years old. It was crazy. And then, you know, he went through the whole thing, and he came out looking like a different man.
They
like,
really
it was crazy.
Plaster him up.
Yeah, then. It was wild. I've never seen anything like it.
To tape his face back.
Yeah, it's like, it sounds like it's like Medusa. So directly at Bill Maher. Unless
he looks like the guy
makeup.
From Mask when you know before they do all the makeup.
So then, at some point, you said... Yeah, I'm working Interscope, I'm working all these jobs, I gotta start my own thing.
Right, and I've always had that mentality because A&R is downsizing at the major labels, right? Can't afford to, like, sign developing artists because gotta keep the lights on at a major, which is expensive, right? So, like, new A&R is now management. Like, managers basically are the first ones usually on board helping develop and...
So basically that's been almost outsourced...
That's a great way to put it, exactly. So I saw this void, and, you know, as my Interscope ship, you know, I was there about 5.5 years, which is considerable. And my mentor actually was the guy that signed No Doubt. You know, he was the first A&R there.
Best Dairy Queen visit ever.
What's that?
He stopped at the Dairy Queen one day in Orange County and said, you guys got something.
Exactly. It was actually a valet. Wait, no, it was a valet guy. He told me, sorry. It was just some valet guy. He was at some restaurant, and he popped a cassette. In my mentor's car, and it was No Doubt.
So
and that's kind of how it, yeah.
Actually,
that's how,
happens.
That's how it went down, yeah.
Because you always see like things.
Was it Blondie or Joan Jett? Someone they hunted down the guy from K Rock at like Denny's on the Sunset Strip and gave him what's his name? The guy's been there forever. The Ronnie on the Rock.
Okay.
And they gave him like Joan Jett like gave him her demo tape at Denny's one night, and he listened to it and he started playing them on K Rock.
Huh.
Crazy. Like that, I mean, this stuff happens. Yeah.
We so gotta he do was that with the podcast. We gotta slip the podcast into people's car, and it'll have no effect on anything.
They're just gonna think we put it in a Mussorgsky CD.
Okay. But so now you're out there then, looking for new talent.
Yes.
Like
you're
for new talent.
Exactly. And so my very first client, right, was a guy named Wax. And he had, I think, when I picked him up, he had on average a couple hundred thousand views on each video, which isn't impressive, actually.
Wish we had that for each episode of this.
And I you know, being at Interscope, it was really a great vantage point, you know, because, you know, it's like as a new manager, it's a good vantage point to have, right? Interscope as a rapper is like the holy grail.
Right.
This guy's a rapper.
Yeah.
And I brought him in, you know, we signed a management deal, and about a year later, this would be 6 months into this night show, I got him signed to Island Def Jam for, like, what was then the biggest deal for a new artist since 2006.
Oh, wow.
So that's another highlight, I guess,
since
on the resume.
The D12
cool.
came out of Detroit.
No, D12 didn't go to Def Jam.
Yeah.
Interscope. But yeah, no, so L.A. Reid, and you guys are aware of L.A. Reid, right?
Yeah.
So he did the deal. And what's interesting about that is I was working Wax around town, and like what's crazy to me is like A&R guys could just like totally not be into it, and then you get some crazy record deal from like one of the biggest.
Yeah. And all of a sudden now they want.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then they're sort of kicking themselves, and you know the rest is history. So that was my first client. So.
Oh, wow.
I got off to a really nice
start.
Yeah,
that's
I got off
the lottery with your first
essentially it is.
Because you're like, this is easy. This just got to get just two of these a year. I'm good.
Exactly.
That's how it works, right?
Well, I picked up another, let's see, four artists. Got them all signed to major record deals like in the
we
next
should,
like, year
we
and a half.
We sing.
If
we got the guy here.
A musical podcast. Yeah. From now on, we're going to sing everything. So, Samson... What kind of bands are you looking for, usually?
I'll tell you, I can't...
I'm not doing this.
Are you looking for a record deal?
You should hear him do karaoke.
Right.
I'm throwing everything against the wall. Hey, that guy who hit on me, he liked my karaoke.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, we should give him his record CD.
Yeah, I got it in my car.
You got the CD?
Yeah, I do. I have it in the car.
Oh, man. I guess I would say that I'm extremely diverse. I'm very. I pride myself on being versatile. Mm-hmm. Like the company that I went to work for as an intern that I admired so much, Interscope, you're talking about U2 to Dr. Dre to No Doubt, right? These are big genre jumps, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do, you know? So every artist I have now is literally different from the other. I have a kid that's like, he's like Bob Dylan. I have like a pop electro group that's like Foster the People.
Okay.
Well, it's like you want to have, it's almost like right. you want to have one of each. One yeah. of everything. Yeah. Cover all the genres.
Cover all the genres.
5 a.m. Collective can be about everything.
Exactly.
You're just looking for the next Insane Clown Posse. You don't want that. You don't want to accept that. Bluegrass.
Although that's my hometown. You guys are aware ICP is Detroit, right?
That's true.
Yeah. That's impressive.
So is RoboCop.
No.
Now, one of the bands that you guys have with the 5 a.m. Collector, we had on this show, The Moth and the Flame.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And they're yeah. blowing up. They're popping up all over
They're
the place.
Doing great things right now. We got homepage on iTunes just last week.
Oh, wow.
When we released, we were out with Imagine Dragons yeah, they're right Imagine now. Dragons. Yeah, which is obviously huge. I mean, we're selling out, you know, well. We every venue that's you know that they played was we're talking 3,000 to 4,000 people sold out. It's
wow.
exciting, you know.
Now, you know they were doing really good stuff. We had listened to the album. We had them on. But would you say that the turning point in their career was appearing on Will Sean podcast?
That was. I mean, after that, that just got
I would
huge.
Say unequivocally.
It went from us to Imagine Dragons.
That's the good luck charm, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were really nice guys, great guys. We met them. They just literally rolled into town from South by Southwest, I think.
I think, yeah.
They were crashing at a house up in the hills.
Yeah.
It's not like in the hills. Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are troopers, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, you have a band like this now. Mm-hmm. What becomes your role as kind of the music manager? What becomes your role with 5 a.m. Collective and Moth and the Flame when they're out there with Imagine Dragons and
right.
stuff like that?
Yeah, so I'm like the conduit, right? When opportunities come in,
mm-hmm.
is like we huddle up and sort of discuss those opportunities internally.
Okay.
And I sort of, you know, I try and do my best to sort of give inside advice on why I feel like we should do something or why not. Ultimately, I must say, it's the band's decision, right? So I just, all I can do is advise.
But you have the experience and you have the know-how and
also
a better understanding of the workings of the industry and also more of the business sense, which I'm sure many of these people, guys lack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
How many guys do you have under 5 a.m. Club? How many bands? How many
Right now,
artists?
Four.
Okay.
Four artists. And I have that joint venture deal, which I told you about earlier.
Yeah.
With,
yes.
Yeah.
Now, what... Well, since they're four, we got The Moth and the Flame. Tell us who some of these other guys are.
Lost Weekend is another one. You know, my buddy actually, who was in Foster the People, produced our EP.
Okay.
I got it signed to Universal probably within the last 3 months now, so pretty recent.
Okay.
And, you know, they're from Winnipeg, which is like the sticks, man.
Canada.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Cracks and that, you know, the world.
And it's a little challenging, like working with a band from Winnipeg, because when opportunities come up, as you can imagine, things move fast in the music industry.
Yeah.
And if you don't strike, it literally passes.
Are they
you
there
by.
Full time?
Yeah, they're living there right now, but they want to come out here. I think the only thing preventing us from doing that is getting a record deal. I signed them a Universal publishing, right? So there's a difference between publishing deal and record deal. So we got a little bit of, we got, you know, some seed money from Universal. We're using that to build the LP right now.
Nice.
Try and find a producer. Actually, they were just in town recently. My buddy, who I've known for a while, has produced like the third Miley Cyrus single, which is pretty huge.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were in with him last time they were here.
So next time we see them, they'll be naked on a wrecking ball swinging around a soundstage.
I would advise them to do that.
Immediately. But we'll do it outdoors in Canada in the winter.
So we got to keep an ear out for
Lost Weekend is another one. That's going to be next year. And then the next one is... Will and the Won'ts is another group.
Will and the Won'ts.
That's your favorite band.
That should be my favorite band. It's my namesake.
Oh, man. Yeah, this band's incredible. He's like a 21-year-old kid.
This is the Bob Dylan.
This is the Bob Dylan kid. He's just like writing from the perspective of like a 70-year-old. Like,
ironically,
crazy.
His name's Robert Zimmerman.
The we had a group in here a couple of months ago from this blog, Badass Bands blog. I wondered if you know them.
Yeah. They just like hyped up. They love Will and the Won'ts. They like put out like
We had them on, and so we were wondering if you knew them. But that's great that there's already a relationship.
They're supportive of that band, and then another one of my previous bands who I got signed and developed. They actually shouted them out too. So I don't know the Badass Bands people.
We should talk offline.
I should definitely get in touch because they seem to like what I'm. the music.
Well,
they have
their residency at the theater in Silver Lake.
Okay. And I believe the Moth and the Flame played there right before
they came on the show.
It's on the show.
Yeah,
they did the Badass Bands.
Well, they were playing at Silver Lake Lounge.
Silver Lake Lounge.
Badass
the Moth was.
Is involved with them too, so their paths must have crossed at some point as well.
So there's like three bands that I've crossed.
Yeah, but they're really great, and so they're very much into finding new indie music.
Yeah,
getting the word out there. They have their podcast. They have their website.
I would love to be put in touch.
Is your life pretty much going to shows? I mean, are you always?
Yeah, how do you find new?
My life is meetings above anything. Believe it or not, like I'm just running around town. You know. Like a maniac, really. Between entertainment attorneys, artists, producers, studio sessions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where the bulk of my time is. Because these days, like, I'm like 8 years in the business now. Yeah. It takes a lot to get me to go to a show.
So do you find talent online?
Talent online, and you know, I mean, to come across stellar stuff online, it doesn't happen every day, right? So if I find something stellar, of course I'm gonna check it out.
Have you heard about this young artist? Yeah. She has a song, huge single. It's called Friday. Her name's Rebecca Black.
Oh my God!
Are you familiar with her?
I wanted her so bad. I missed out. Another manager beat me up.
Ah,
oh
God, I love that song.
It could have been that, honestly. Then we could have had her on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would have been.
She actually got a record deal, which is like shocking to me. Yeah.
I may have accounted for several hundred thousand of the 60 million views on YouTube.
This man is obsessed with that song.
Oh my God. Do you still rock out to that song?
I may post it on my Facebook on occasional Fridays.
Last Friday, you tweeted it.
Of course, because it was Friday.
It's a video.
That's too funny.
It's like, would you not drink whiskey on St. Paddy's Day?
And
not have turkey on Thanksgiving?
That's
you got
to
listen to Friday.
You got to listen to Friday on Friday. You got to get down on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, before we move on to some of our pop culture stuff, where can our listeners go and find out everything about 5AM
Collective? 5amcollective.com. Yep.
Look at that.
And
it's easy.
It's the number 5.
Oh, sorry, the number 5. Yes, the number 5amcollective.com. I named my company 5AM because my name is Sam. It's with a 5.
Ah.
And, right, did you guys not know that before I got here?
Yes. I did not know that.
That's
a
good.
Fact.
Yeah.
Is that like Deadmau5?
kind of inspired me.
Do you go by Sam or Samson?
Mostly Samson. After 30, I kind of dropped the Sam and just picked up the Samson.
Samson's a strong
name. It's a stronger, you know, 30s
until it all comes crashing down around you.
No, just don't let a chick cut my hair.
Yeah, well, you don't have.
Right,
which is not much
hair right now, exactly.
You gotta go. Hey, it gave you the strength to come up. So, 5amcollective.com, and also you guys are on Twitter.
Yeah, we're on Twitter, which is actually it's at my name at Samson Shulman, right? And then Facebook, we're doing pretty good on likes and posts up there. So that's just Facebook. .com/5amcollective, simple. Yes, as far as like new artists listening, they could follow a submission process at the website if they're interested.
So
very
if
simple.
You're a new artist out there, if you're an emerging artist, and you think this you'd be a great fit for 5AM Collective, go to their site and submit.
Blow up this man's mailbox.
Well, we've got a 2, it says it on there, but we've got a 2 MP3 max.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
You don't want the 60 song collection.
6,000 megabytes.
10,000 songs.
And then
song
important emails can't get through because they're blocking my email.
Yeah.
They're shutting it down.
But if you are a good listener of the podcast, you've already been to 5amcollective.com.
Ah.
You've already explored all this stuff because there is a link for their site on our Facebook page.
That's brilliant.
So hopefully... You're listening to this. You've already done this shit.
Exactly.
And we know you're good listeners.
The best listeners.
Best
we listen- love all of you. Each and every one of you. Andrea Marchand, but the rest of you, good people.
Andrea Marchand, terrific musician.
Yeah.
Just saying. So you want to stick around and bullshit with us on some pop culture? You have no choice.
I would love to.
You have no choice.
And also, we must mention you have a dog here.
Yes. I brought my dog Lola. Who,
hello. Run, Lola, run.
Yeah. She's a sweetheart. And she's...
What kind of dog is she?
She's like a spaniel mix.
Yeah.
They're not quite sure what
else. You'll see a photo, people. Don't worry.
Yeah, again, this is riveting for the listener.
Hey,
look at the cute dog.
That's how good we are that we can just do this, and it works.
Samson, are you a football fan?
I wouldn't call myself a football fan. I'll say I have some understanding of it.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of, and I think Sean, you're kind of the same. We're like tangential fans.
I think I'm the biggest fan. I mean, I'm somewhat of a fan. I think I'm the biggest fan here at the table, which is ironic.
You're not, but let's put it this way. You're the biggest fan here at the table, but your Sundays aren't preoccupied.
No,
watching.
Yeah, exactly. It's like being the most religious person at a, you know, breakaway church or something.
So, have you heard about this Richard Incognito bullying?
No, I'd love to hear about it.
There is a player on the Dolphins, Jonathan Martin, and he's recently basically came out and said he's a rookie, and he's being bullied by his other teammates. He's talked about all this hazing that goes on. Sean, maybe you could...
Yeah, so he's they're both linemen for the Miami Dolphins, and essentially Richard Incognito, which is his real name, it came out that... So Jonathan Martin quits the team, or goes on hiatus, comes out that he received these voicemails. He got this terrible voicemail from Richard Incognito that says, "You half N-word, I'm going to kill your family, you're only a rookie, I'm going to shit in your throat, I'm going to kill you." It's really rough.
Now, he also said stuff about his, would say stuff like about his sister-in-law, he was going to run a train on her.
Oh my God.
And so a couple of developments on all this. So this brought out all this discussion on the macho bullshit culture of NFL locker rooms. And there was an interview with Richard Incognito this past week where he says, listen, and he was very articulate and very bright. It was very weird. He goes, listen, this is trash talk. He goes, Jonathan Martin and I have been in communication. We've talked. He goes, this is the terrible, awful culture of NFL locker rooms. There are awful things that get said. He goes, it's part of how this system operates. He goes, I've been in communication with Jonathan, and he says, it wasn't you. And Jonathan didn't leak this stuff out. It got out somehow. He said, it wasn't you. It was just the whole culture. And Richard Incognito even said that just the day before, Jonathan Martin had sent him a text message that was equally as offensive in its own way. One interesting thing about Jonathan Martin, both of his parents, he went to Harvard, I believe,
or Stanford.
Both of his parents are Harvard professors. He comes from he majored in something really like philosophy and semiotics. Very, very intelligent guy. And I think he got to the point where he said, you know, what the fuck do I need this for? You know?
Well, this is I think this is where the issue is. Is there a difference between hazing and bullying? And should we expect, I mean, do you think that even in an NFL locker room where it sounds like all bets are off, that this stuff should be acceptable? Like, is that acceptable in that kind of environment? What do you think?
I would imagine it's the norm.
Yeah.
Like, right? Yeah.
And the coach has got to know about this.
Yeah, of course. That's why I'm surprised, like, this is making waves like that. Like, this hasn't been happening for
so
long
already. Well, it's like a line from Casablanca. I'm shocked, shocked, shocked to find there's gambling going on here, you know?
Exactly.
You know what, actually, I think, and I listen to some people compare it to, I remember A Few Good Men with the Code Red, where they're like, we issued the Code Red. I think the coach has probably told Incognito to go, like, you know, be hard on this guy. We got to toughen this guy up.
Make an example.
Well, he's very bookish. I guess he kept to himself a lot. And, you know. Well, you know, in the military, there's a no-hazing policy, and the Marines are not allowed to haze. So it's good enough for the Marines. Why do we got to do this in football?
Or fraternities. I think they're knocking that out with fraternities. Am I wrong?
Yeah, because
that,
I mean, you have a lot of bad incidents with fraternities.
Are dying.
Would you, like, you were never in a fraternity.
No, I never did the fraternity.
I can never do something like that.
Yeah, same.
I can only be beaten like that for pleasure, not for any
not for the acceptance of other men.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, nickname was Electric Eel in the frat.
But,
it's funny, as you said that, I thought of the guy that dropped in on you and hit on you, which is bad. I can only be beaten for pleasure.
But
so is there any excuse for this? I mean, this is a union job, this guy has. I mean, honestly, it's a union job. How do you change a culture? I mean, we have all these NFL fans. Like, I mean, three of us here are smart enough to know that we're not, like, macho, necessarily tough. I mean, maybe you are.
I will kick your asses right now.
But how do you change a culture where we now have people who are watching football on a Sunday and they're like, fuck this Jonathan Martin guy, he's a pussy. Like, because all these guys would be get their asses kicked in this locker room. They couldn't do that. How do we change this culture? We can't, right? We should just give up.
Sensitivity training. We should send in, you know, hug it out. Everyone should be hugging it out.
I think it's kind of a battle that can't be won, honestly. That's my take.
As long as we keep loving football.
As long as we keep
Well, I mean, there are bigger issues in football, concussions and injuries and the long-term effects of this game. And, you know, the NFL says, well, you know, we didn't know back then, but now we know. Everyone knows who comes to play professional football. They have a very clear-eyed understanding of what they're getting themselves into. So this is part of, you know, the defense is, this is part of the package. This is what you signed up for.
So calling someone the N-word is part of the
half
package?
Half N-word.
Oh, half
N-word. Half N-word, yeah.
They just called him a nit.
Yeah. So, I don't agree with it, but, you know, it's like if you go work for a company that cleans up human waste, you know you're going to be up to your... You know you're going to be dealing with shit.
But are you... Okay, you know you're going to deal with shit, but are you expecting I'm going to run a... Well, I guess maybe you are expecting someone to yell they're going to run a train on your sister. What were you about to say?
I was going
to
say, like, aren't there, like, heavy fines?
For on-the-field stuff, I think.
Just on the field. There's no heavy fines off the field. I mean, I don't know football.
I guess the team itself... The league can fine you on the field. I guess the team itself, because the team suspended Incognito, right?
But I think they had to because it was a PR. That could have also been a PR move.
Yeah, but...
So it's all this stuff gets up. But here's the thing. If this stuff is probably going on everywhere, and yet, why did this story get... It's very strange.
It's funny. It's all, to bring it back to music, it's almost like all this illegal downloading, and then they bust the soccer mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they made an example of
the soccer mom, yeah, exactly.
They made an example of Richard Incognito, who I hear, though, is known in the league for being, like, kind of a
problem player.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's like
He's the new Terrell Owens.
Dick, or Ndamukong Suh, they say. He's also, like, from the Detroit Lions.
Oh, man.
He's a dirty problem player.
It all comes back to Detroit.
I know. Yeah. My city doesn't need any more heat.
Well, Gene Simmons is on the case.
How about then we change to a different city?
Let's do it.
Dallas. Not a football city at all.
Not at all. They don't give a shit down there.
Matthew McConaughey's in this new film, Dallas Buyers Club. And here's the thing about McConaughey, and this is what I've been loving. We are in, and I've said this before on the podcast, I don't know if you know this, Samson. We are in a golden age of McConaughey.
I love that.
Do you remember when McConaughey came on the scene?
What, yeah, wasn't it?
94, 93?
Like Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused. To Kill a Mockingbird?
A Time to Kill.
A Time to Kill.
He didn't play Atticus. Although he could probably play a very good Atticus Finch.
He was a good one in the movie. We were like, McConaughey's going to be...
Amistad.
We said, this guy's... He's going to be something.
Definitely.
And then what did he do? He's like... Fool's Gold and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and some fucking movie with his ghosts of girlfriends.
He's going to throw his dick at Kate Hudson over and over again. That's what he was going to do.
Are you seeing any of those McConaughey romantic comedies?
No, I haven't.
Of course you haven't.
Right.
So now we're in a golden age of McConaughey because all of a sudden he's doing these really weird, interesting roles. This movie Killer Joe last year.
Mud.
Mud. He's doing all these indies. Even Magic Mike has a little bit more. He's great in that movie. I don't know if you saw that.
Mm-mm.
You know.
He's phenomenal. And I've been saying this for a while. McConaughey is, I think, our new... He's our Paul Newman. If you think about Paul Newman, he didn't really hit his stride. He didn't do Cool Hand Luke or any of those films until he was Butch Cassidy, till he was in his early 40s, wow. Which is McConaughey's age right now. And,
So there's some real stuff with this golden age McConaughey
talk.
Golden
age McConaughey. Now... This past weekend, I saw him in the Dallas Buyers
Club. Oh, you did see it. Okay.
Yeah. And this is the movie. He's going to get an Oscar nomination for this.
Wow.
He plays a man who, back in the 80s, he's a man. He would have been saying the same stuff about this NFL stuff. He's like, oh, I'm a man's man. And he's a homophobe. He's constantly saying fag. He's constantly being the son. And then he gets AIDS.
Mm.
And this is in the early days of AIDS. And, you know, all of a sudden...
Not like the golden age of AIDS.
It's in the early days of AIDS. He's, you know, he doesn't realize. He's like, I'm no faggot. I couldn't have got this, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, obviously, as he's dying of this disease or fighting for his life, he starts to have a change of heart about the other people who have this disease. And he starts a club in which he gets illegal... unapproved FDA drugs.
They're not illegal, they're just not approved by the FDA.
That's true. They're not illegal, they're just not approved, and he starts getting them and selling them to people dying of AIDS because the FDA won't release these things, and he starts this big fight. It's a great book. The movie's good. It's a great performance by McConaughey. And he's whittled away to nothing. Like, he's stick thinning.
How much did he...
Did he do a better job than Tom Hanks did with Philadelphia?
You know what? I don't think... I can't remember how much did Tom Hanks whittle away in that movie.
Quite a bit.
He looked pretty frail. Yeah.
You know, these actors with these fluctuating weights.
Well, Christian Bale in The Machinist.
Christian Bale's fucking crazy. Because Bale, he's like, he puts on all this weight to play Batman. Then he loses it all for The Machinist. Then he puts it all on to play Batman again. Then he loses it all to be in that Rescue Dawn movie, that Werner Herzog Prisoner of War movie. Mm. Then he puts it all on again. If he's not careful, he's going to have a heart attack. Right?
Well, good for you.
I had no idea that this was happening with Bale.
Yeah, Bale is just up, down.
Wow.
And you bring up Tom Hanks, didn't he get like...
No, Clooney, when he put all the weight on for Syriana, caused permanent kidney damage or liver damage.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he fucked himself up. Clooney. Because he put on 60-plus pounds to play fat Clooney.
Dude, one of the most like transformative things that blew my mind was the Charlize Theron. Remember Charlize
Monster?
Was it Monster? Yeah. Because like, that's one of the most beautiful actresses to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she's just like turned into like,
and that was one of those roles, much like what McConaughey's been doing in the past few years. That was one of those roles where I thought Charlize Theron was a great beauty. I loved looking at her on screen. I didn't think of much of her as an actress, and then she started taking these roles where she started to really come into her own. She won an Oscar for that, deservedly so. And now I think of her as a really phenomenal actress.
I agree. I feel the exact same way.
I still think she's hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
what if McConaughey and Charlize Theron were to co-star in a movie together?
Mind blown. Sexiest movie ever. There are other actors who have not been able to reinvent their careers as well. After, for example, Cuba Gooding Jr. This man wins an Oscar. What's he ever
What's
done?
What's he
since?
Doing now? Yeah, that's a good point. Is he doing television?
I don't even think so. That would be a good move for Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah,
he should reinvent himself with that.
How do you guys feel about actors doing television? I feel like that's more your world.
I think it's... I mean, the stigma's gone now. But, you know, mainly... There's two types of actors who do television. There are actors that maybe need a career injection. They haven't... They're not as relevant now as they had been for, like, Glenn Close.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been good for a lot of older actresses.
Zach Morris. Saved by the Bell.
Or people who... But you know what? That's someone who had to reinvent his career, and he started doing more... Well, now he's Franklin and Bat.
Yeah, which one is he? Is he both? Yeah.
He's both.
Okay.
He's both.
Well, or the other option is someone like Kevin Bacon, where they get a show that's a shorter number of episodes. So instead of committing someone to 22 episodes, or The Following, which Kevin Bacon's on, is only 16 episodes. Although I heard that Kevin Bacon had to take that show because he lost a lot of money with Madoff.
Yeah.
And he needed
is
some...
Is that right?
Yeah, he needed some cash.
Holy shit, I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know what else? You know what took away a lot of the stigma of television? HBO.
Great point.
Because, and guess who's going to be on an HBO show starting in January? Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah, True Detective.
Which looks him awesome. And Woody Harrelson. Those are two bona fide movie stars.
No weed going on that set. No one's getting high on that set, let me tell you.
That looks like a great show.
Yeah.
It's really moody, and will you tune in for that?
I'm going to tune in for that one, for sure.
You know who else could use a career? I was thinking about this today. Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
What the hell ever happened to her?
That's a great question.
Her whole face, she just squunched right into her face.
Yeah.
She's not from Texas. Another Texas blonde.
She crushed the, the Jerry Maguire. I thought she crushed that role.
Yeah,
right?
But that was 15 years ago now.
Jerry Maguire. That goes
to
show.
That kid now is like 35 years old. Still tell me how much that human head weighs.
Lipnicki, Jonathan Lipnicki, he could use it. I saw him in a play. I saw the Jerry Maguire kid in a play.
Wow.
And it wasn't a very good play. And he made some Jerry Maguire joke in it, and it wasn't that funny, but I started to lose it, and so did my friend Fox, who was with us, and we started to just completely lose it, and we realized we were going to start laughing over dramatic stuff in the play. Ooh. So it was funny. I was sitting next to a wall. I just stared at the wall to try to, like, steady myself, and I could see Fox pinching himself to try to not laugh because we didn't want to humiliate this. Well, it was a very tiny theater.
You guys are big supporters of the
arts. What did he say exactly? What was the crack about
it was
Maguire?
It was something about Cameron Crowe, who directed Jerry Maguire. Yeah. Well, obviously, you know Cameron Crowe.
Yeah.
He's a big music
guy.
Yeah, and he, the girl in the play with him was like looking through the newspaper and was like, oh, why don't we go see, and she,
we bought a zoo.
Why don't we go see the new Cameron Crowe movie? And Nicky was like, eh, I don't really like that guy. Yeah, Jerry Maguire was okay. Like something like that. And then the audience laughed, but I lost.
Good story.
I like that.
I mean, I'm just letting you know where Lipnicki's at. We could probably get Lipnicki for the podcast.
Okay, that's... We went from at one point wanting to get Bill Murray, now we're going to Lipnicki.
I want to get Lipnicki for the 100th episode.
100th episode. He's going to... Yeah.
What's his name exactly?
It's Jonathan Lipnicki.
I think I saw him in a Q&A regarding Stuart Little, too. I don't even
know.
Don't even get me started.
Do you guys remember that movie, The Toy, back in the day?
The Toy or Toys?
Richard Pryor?
Yeah.
Like, that guy went into porn.
Yeah,
kid,
right.
Did
yeah,
you know that?
The kid
yeah, the kid
the
went into porn.
Porn. I saw that on, like, a VH1.
I watched that. It's crazy. He'd be up for television right now.
Well, you give me a perfect segue. I went to see this movie. This movie is certainly not porn. It's called Blue is the Warmest Color. But it's gotten a lot of press because it's a French film. It's a 3-hour French language drama about two young women in love.
Aren't they all?
This is a phenomenal film. It's a beautiful film. You really feel like you're a fly on the wall of this relationship. Most of the film is also shot in close-up or mid-close-up. And you're forced to look at these women's faces, and these actresses are so expressive. They're so brilliant. Great performances. Won everything at Cannes. Mm. Now, why a lot of people know this film is, I got to admit, although this isn't necessarily the reason to see the movie, it's an added bonus. There are some fantastic lesbian sex scenes in this film.
I've heard.
Yeah.
And there is one that's like about 7 minutes long. There's maybe about 15 minutes of sex in the movie, and there's one scene that's about 7 minutes long. You know, it's right after they had a big spaghetti dinner. And then
well, you have those big spaghetti dinners, and next thing you know, you're scissoring in bed.
Exactly. And, you know, but here's the thing. After you've watched an hour of this movie, yes, the scene is very sexy, but you're so involved with these people as characters that it's not just titillation for the sake of titillation.
I'm out.
Well, I'm sitting in this audience, and probably, you know, I'm at an art house theater, so I'm probably the youngest person in this theater.
By at least two major American wars.
And there are all these, there are a lot of middle-aged people, and there's this middle-aged couple in the row, a few seats down from me. And this lesbian sex scene starts, and they start laughing. Like I was Lipnicki laughing. They start laughing, like, out loud. And the scene's going on. It's 7 minutes. They don't stop. They're snickering. They're giggling. They're elbowing. Now, these are people, they got to be in their late 40s or something like that. You know, they've lived life long enough that what's so funny about two women scissoring on screen? You know, they've lived long enough to know this. And it's not like we're sitting in a porno theater and we're all adults here. And you know why? You know why they're giggling? Because back in the day, when there were, like, orgies going on in Rome and in Greece and all these wonderful countries, we got the shitty boat of Puritans who came over here, and they infected our society, and they've made these people to this day. They sit there, and they're like, I don't know what to do about that. I'm nervous about this. I'm nervous about these people having sex on screen. I don't know what to do. I'm so uncomfortable. And they start giggling, and you know what? They're a bunch of fucking assholes, these people, and that's why you, the Puritans, who came over here and infected our society, are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you, Puritans. What did you do? All you knew were buckled hats and Thanksgivings and all this bullshit. And you want to know what? You want to know what I did to these people? I shushed them. I told them. I said, can you please be quiet? I said, grow up.
They said grow up to you?
No.
You said grow up to
I
them.
I told them okay. to grow up, the old people. And you want to know what? It shamed them. They didn't say another word.
Wow. So you're going to see the movie again?
I have to.
For the story.
I at least have to see that scene again.
Well, for the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have... I mean, does this drive you crazy that these people, these people, these immature people that are talking during movies...
That's no fun. Yeah. So the cell phones, though, right? Do you guys turn your cell phones off?
Yes.
When you're in? Okay, I do, too.
I yelled you for turning it on during the credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't the credits.
Oh, it was like the last... I was getting so antsy. I don't know what was going on with me.
I gotta say, the cell phone, because it's so dark in the theater... When that thing lights up, it's just like this gigantic Yankee Stadium thing. It throws you off.
People are idiots, and they're like, oh, I'm texting anything. And all the light in the theater it goes right there. Your eyes just go right there.
Yeah.
I just, you know, over the years, I've become less and less The experience of going to see a movie in a theater has become less and less enjoyable to me because of all the other fucking people there.
And
if they're not
on
the cell phones or talking, or old people, we've talked about this before, old people are the worst
these
in movie theaters.
Middle-aged people.
Well, they're bad too, but in general, like, old people are the worst.
What's your experience been with the old people?
They talk, yeah. And they have conversations, and they'll say, oh, that's nice, oh, this shit, and they just they think like they're in their living room. They're just the worst, and they can't hear anything, so they have to talk loudly
you
to each other.
You know what's funny about this? You're ringing a bell with me. I saw an old couple probably in their 70s. Yeah. Walk out of Lars and the Real Girl.
Not what they were expecting.
They walked out. They were disgusted.
You know,
crazy.
There were old people walking out of this movie, too. And it's like, didn't you know what you were saying?
Rated X-17.
And by the way, well, Lars and the Real Girl, I know it's a real girl, but that's like a Capra-esque movie. That's like a really...
Is that offensive?
No, that's not offensive.
Yeah,
you never see him. In fact, they never even allude to that. Mm-hmm. He's fucking a real
Did he hook up with the doll? I can't remember.
I don't know.
You don't see it. Okay. They scoffed a bunch and then they were out of there, man.
These people can't handle sex in movies. I remember back in the day going to see Boogie Nights and I never saw more walkouts. Didn't you know this movie was about the porn industry? What did you think was happening? And this Blue is the Warmest Color. It was rated NC-17. We're at an art house theater. You know, grow up, people.
The middle of the day.
It's two people having sex. Oh, my God. These two people probably... You know what? To be fair, though, seeing that probably reinvigorated their love life because they didn't realize such things. They didn't know you could do that with a vagina.
I still don't know what it is you're referring to.
Oh, it's crazy.
I gotta see
this. There's this great video online of real lesbians watching the sex scene from Blue is the Warmest Color and then commenting on... They're like, so was it hot? And like, yeah, it was hot, but it's... I don't know. And then the one girl's complaining, there was too much ass play. That's doing nothing for these women. What's going on? So it's...
Is this on YouTube? I gotta
check
this out. Oh my god.
The sex scene's not on YouTube, but it's like the two girl one cup things where you just see them...
Yeah, except these are lesbians commenting on the sex scenes.
Okay.
And it's rated NC-17. You know, the IFC Theater in New York got into a little bit of trouble because they said they weren't going to enforce the NC-17. They were just going to let people go in. Because it's not a law. Theaters don't have to enforce the MPA ruling. It's not like
a lot
law.
Of this issue was also like Blockbuster Video, which now went out of business. We probably talked about that. They wouldn't carry NC-17 movies. So if you had a movie rated NC-17, not only would certain theater chains not carry it, but then you couldn't get home video distribution at the biggest video store in the country.
The rating system is bullshit. In the music, there's not really a rating. There's the parental warning thing.
The parental advisory.
But they've
never
tried to develop a system.
Go on the internet and you just... No. The kids can just go online and just buy it.
Yeah, these days it's like the floodgates open.
Is that even, in your industry, is that even relevant anymore, the
advisory? No, I don't think so. It's still done. But, you know.
But it's kind of just done for show now.
It's superfluous, yeah.
Well, they have video games ratings, and they actually are pretty strict with selling video games that check IDs and stuff, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we're over 17.
I remember when they first created the parental advisory thing. Yeah. It was on the 2 Live Crew. I bought a 2 Live Crew cassette.
It was like, you want to buy more.
Exactly.
Like,
I was like,
what can't I hear?
I was like 10 years old. I was like, I gotta check this out.
Well, Dad, listen to this.
Before we wrap up, I always like to end with a weird topic. And this one...
This is a special one.
Three people in Oklahoma... were arrested for an accidental shooting during a Sasquatch hunt.
No way.
Three people in Oklahoma were hunting Sasquatch, and some, you know, I mean, I guess
like
they got...
Like you do.
I guess they got nervous. They thought Sasquatch was coming. The gun went off and shot one of them, and they were, you know, they were arrested. It was, you know...
I'm sure no substances were involved with this. No one was drunk.
Is this the same state that always sees UFOs? This is a different state.
It's one of the garbage states.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's a flyover state.
It's a garbage state.
It's a flyover state. You know, I mean, first of all, I didn't think they had Sasquatch in Oklahoma. Because they just have big fields, right?
The forest, where are they hunting?
there are no forests.
There's no forest. Where are they hunting? In the plains? Where the majestic buffalo used to roam? They're looking for Sasquatch?
So what went down?
They were arrested for the shooting, and I think the police... didn't like the reasoning was a Sasquatch hunt. They didn't really buy into their reasoning of how this accident occurred.
Should they say instead, I'm sorry, we were actually trying to kill this man. This was a mob hit that went wrong.
It was two guys and a girl.
Oh.
One of the guys was shot. So, where is the best place to hunt Sasquatch, Samson?
Oh my God, I would probably say Detroit City.
He's wandering the streets.
No one's noticed. He's just, hey, what's up?
I want.
He runs a froyo stand.
I mean, I guess I have to ask you. Do you believe in, like, a Bigfoot? Like, do you think that's a thing that could be out there?
I'd say definitely not.
Yeah, and you too.
No, I'm not about
that. I want, more than anything, I want them to discover a Bigfoot or a Loch Ness Monster or a Yeti. I would love them to discover, because, you know what, it would make, like magic is real again. It would add something.
You wouldn't
to the
be world. You wouldn't all of a sudden be living in Middle Earth, okay?
No, but I mean, wouldn't it be exciting? Like, let's say they really did find a Bigfoot. That would be exciting.
Yeah. Until they, you know, then they tour around the world and go see the Bigfoot and yeah, be good stuff.
I'd go
well, here's
see
something
the
that's very interesting.
Right, like...
Remember growing up, there used to be all those UFO specialist stuff. Everyone now has a cell phone, has a camera in their pocket. How come UFO sightings then have not increased? Or we don't have more footage?
Great
We're still
point.
Looking at the same stupid grainy Sasquatch footage from, you know, 1978. From someone on a 16mm camera with that one guy going through the bushes. You know? Like my iPhone 5S. Let me tell you about the camera on the iPhone 5S.
That is Bigfoot hunting photography.
This is, we're going out, you, me, we're going Oklahoma this weekend. We're going to go find Bigfoot.
I've always kind of been fascinated by cryptozoology.
Anything
with cryptozoology? I don't even know what that is.
It is the study of animals that we haven't yet discovered.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, it's a legitimate study because... You know, for every asshole who's using it to find the chupacabra, there's somebody who's like, I found a new frog in the rainforest that we never discovered. Because there are dense areas of the world that we still don't know.
Australia is like, what, 70% uninhabitable,
yeah.
Right? I mean, there's got to be weird
terrible
shit
island
there, right?
Prison.
Yeah,
yeah, they're out there in the outback. Maybe there's a Sasquatch.
I read a very funny quote recently. They go, Sydney, Australia, if you ever wanted to visit San Diego, but sit on a plane for 20 hours to get there.
Oh, my God.
I've always wanted to visit Sydney, Australia.
It looks boring, just whatever. So the field of study that I'm very interested in is cryptosexuality.
Hey, now.
The study of sexual acts that have not yet been discovered.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
you
geez.
Blew my mind.
Yeah. That's it. That's my field.
That guy was trying to discover cryptosexuality with
he
me.
He was, yeah.
My electric eel penis.
By the way, also playing tonight at the Troub.
Yeah, you should book Electric Eel Penis.
That's a great band.
Your next thing. Cryptosexology?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Hey, ladies.
Sean's cryptosexologist.
Me and Sean are starting to study.
This is going to be like Masters of Sex. We're going to open a little clinic.
Where were you with this the other night? Alyssa... Christelle, me and Sean have a course to teach you.
Let's go to my car.
You know what's funny? I want to just add something to the girls the other night, bring it back to the beginning of the podcast. They did a hell of a job protecting me from this weirdo. Usually I'm the one who has to kind of stand between the pretty girl and the weirdo.
So they literally cock-blocked.
This week, Christelle, she blocked his cock from me.
There you go. They also blocked you from the cheap wine he kept trying to... And the potato chips he was trying to hand feed you.
That's true.
Like an instant thing? Like when you offered the wine, was it an instant no? Did you ponder for a second?
Okay, he offered the wine. I said no, right?
Okay,
away.
It was... Okay.
Then he came back with a glass of wine. And he put it down in front of me. And I said no, thank you. And he gave me this puppy dog look. And I briefly thought maybe I'll take a sip of it. And then I'm like, no. Don't take any this man. And I said, no, thank you. And then he offered it to Christelle and Alyssa, and they both declined. And then he kind of wandered off.
Into the night. Man wearing a trench coat? What was he dressed like? I'm trying to get the visual on this guy.
He was dressed like a hobo.
Okay, all right.
He was not dressed well, and he had painted fingernails.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was quite the scene. Samson!
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you so much for
coming on. It was awesome. Thank you.
Before we wrap up, once again, plug away. Tell everybody where they can find everything about you and 5AM Collective.
Awesome. All right, so 5amcollective.com is the company's site. Go to the submissions icon. We'll show you, walk you through how to submit to us if you're a new artist, happen to be listening. Facebook is facebook.com/5amcollective, and Twitter is my name, @SamsonSchulman.
That's perfect.
That's it. And you have information on the individual bands that you guys rep and links, and they can find
all
out.
That. Yep. All that. That will be found on the website.
Excellent. And some of these, man, you've heard a little bit of Moth of the Flame on our show before. They're great. And I'm very excited
appreciate
to check
that.
Out some of these other bands.
Yeah. I'll keep you posted.
Thank you. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSeanDavid. Also, my book is available for purchase and reading on Amazon. Triumvirs, Triumvirs. I will be performing, I know it's a little bit early, December 29th at Nat Goldberg's holiday-themed comedy show at the West Side Theater, so I will be there, and I will probably be performing at an upcoming Muse on 8th show some point in the future.
We'll keep you posted.
Exactly.
And go to that show on the 29th. I'm actually flying in that night. I'm very upset I'm going to miss that one because I'm looking forward. It's going to be a great show.
It's going to be a great show. Fed the best show ever.
Best show ever.
Yes.
Because I'm not there. You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You could also read some film reviews of mine at u1can.com. Can spelled like the city in France. You know, blue is the warmest color. That one can. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Also, I will be performing at Tattletales on November 20th at 8 p.m. That's at Shetty's Public Parlor. It's a free show. So come on down. I'm going to read an essay about dating 21-year-old girls. And how that never works out.
Part of your crypto-sexuality project.
I'm doing the research, baby. and then I'm also going to be performing December 1st at Lit Up Writers at 7:30 at the Lyric Hyperion Theater. It is also a holiday-themed show. I'm going to be reading an essay about New Year's Eve.
It's a good one.
Next week on the show, I almost forgot what I was doing. Next week on the show, Eric Schwartz. This guy is a talented musician, but he's kind of a comedian musician. Mm. He does a lot of funny songs. We saw him perform a couple at Sit and Spin at the Comedy Central stage. He wrote an award-winning song a few years back called Clinton Got a Blowjob. So we're going to have him on. We're gonna and maybe we'll hear some of his songs.
And we haven't discussed it yet, but that's the plan.
That's the plan. And the week after that, we're very excited. Catherine Brockett is coming on the show. She has written a book that's perfect for the holidays. It's called The Dysfunctional Family Fun Book. And it's pretty much designed that if you have to spend a lot of time with your dysfunctional family, and around the holidays, everybody has to, this is like a activity book that you can engage in. So I'm excited to find out more about that as well.
And you pronounce both of their names correctly without having any issues.
Ah,
look at that.
Easy names. We're going to find out that their names are
totally different. It took us 92 episodes, but you turned a quarter.
Exactly. I'm never going to mispronounce someone's name again.
We're entering a golden age of the Will Sean Podcast.
Samson, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. For the Will Sean Podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.
We're finished.